We all love mob movies. Scarface, The Godfather, the list goes on and on. But there's one movie that speaks to me above all others. Donnie Brasco starring Johnny Depp. In season one of Deep Cover, we discovered the real story behind Donnie's time undercover with the New York Mafia and what it was like spending 6 years with some of the wildest wise guys you'll ever come across. I'm your host, Leo Rossi, and I've spent my life behind and in front of the cameras, creating stories about the mob. This season, we're going even deeper into the Donnie Brasco story. We'll learn more about the man behind the persona, Joe Pistone, and his time as the most decorated undercover agent in FBI history.
This week on Deep Cover, Leo and Joe dive into the world of Hollywood and the set of Gravesend, starring our own Leo Rossi. It's behind-scenes insights into the hit show, plus a bombshell change of heart from Joe regarding a notorious gangster.
Hello, everybody. This is Leo Rossi, the host of Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco, and we have the real Donnie Brasco. No bullshit. Joe Pistone, how are you, buddy?
Okay, Leo, how you doing today? Everything all right? You have a good day?
You know what? Yeah, pretty good. I was going to say my hemorrhoids, but that, who cares? No, it's all right. Everything's all right there.
Yeah, we needed to know that, Leo. Too much information.
So today, where are we going to visit, Joe? You tell me.
Yeah, you know, the last season and our second season here, it's been about, you know, about my endeavors, my adventures. And I think what tonight I want to do is I want to go into a little bit about Leo Rossi. I want to tell the audience a little episode that happened last month. So I'm on my farm, sitting on my front porch, having my iced tea, and my phone rings. And who is it? My friend and partner, Leo Rossi. And, you know, when Leo talks to you, even on the phone, the horses can hear it, the cows can hear it, everybody in the farm can hear it. He says, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here on my front porch having a glass of tea and watching my horses walk around. He said, why don't you come to Miami? I'm going to be in Miami. I'm down here now, and we're doing the second season of Gravesend, and we'll get into what Gravesend is in a minute. He said, some of your friends are going to be down here. I said, Leo, you got a hotel for me? Well, you got to know Leo, you know? He said, well, I got another bed. I said, Leo, I don't stay with people, you know? So I said, I'll call you back in a half an hour. I get on the phone and I call my buddy, Bob Starkman. Bob Starkman lives in South Florida. He's a retired U.S. Customs agent. Bob and I have been friends for over 20 years. I said, hey, Bob, I just got a call from Leo Rossi. And Bob met Leo once before, and he's inviting me down to Miami to go on a set. He's doing this Amazon show, right? Amazon, right, Leo?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon, yep. Show called Gravesend. Bob says, you know, you always got that back bedroom. I said, good. Let me book a flight and I'll be down. So I call Leo. I said, Leo, I'm coming in for a few days and I'm coming down with Big Bob. Now, you got to know Bob Starkman is 6'5", about 275. He's a big lad, big lad.
He's a monster.
He just had a book come out called Inside Both Courts. And what the book is about, it's about his time as a correction officer and then a U.S. customs agent and then a basketball coach. In fact, he's in the Florida Hall of Fame for junior college basketball coaches. And I go down, grab a flight the next day, go down to Florida. Bob picks me up at Fort Lauderdale. We proceed down to, I think you were shooting that day in Miami someplace, right?
Yeah. I think it was in, was it Fort Lauderdale? It may have been.
No, that was the second time.
May have been
time.
Fort Lauderdale.
No.
The second time.
The second. At any rate, and it was a big mansion and everything. So to tell you a little bit about the series, Gravesend is a section of Brooklyn, Bensonhurst, very at one time in the 70s, 80s, even today, it's, you know, mafia infiltrated. And that's what this TV show is about, the series about. It's about the mafia. So Leo introduces me. I get down there, and he introduces me to a gentleman by the name of William DeMeo. DeMeo's a guy from Gravesend. He grew up there. What amazed me about him is that, you know, Leo just introduces me. I says, well, you acting in it? He says, yeah, I'm one of the main actors. And then I find out not only is he the actor, he wrote it, he produces it, he directs it, and he acts in it. And I'm saying, boy, this is some talented guy. So we go through the whole Megillah. So then Leo says, I got a surprise for you. What's that, Leo? Your old buddy's here. He's in the movie. He's playing a mob boss based on Santo Trafficante. I said, who? He said, William Forsythe. I said, now, I've known William for years.
He thinks the world of you, Joe. He thinks the world of you.
You've done several movies with William.
Yeah.
Tell us about William. I know him, but I don't know him as, I mean, he's a great actor, but you've spent a lot of hours with him on the set. Tell our listeners about William Forsythe.
He has been in so many movies, and he's been with De Niro, Jimmy Woods. He's been with the Coen brothers. He's done movies for just about everybody. And you would recognize him for many, many roles. He usually plays a tough guy, and he is a tough guy from Williamsburg, Brooklyn. But everybody remembers him as Richie from the Steven Seagal film.
Richie. That's right.
And when we were in Florida, people are going on the street, Hey, Richie, you know? And yeah. He says, of all the roles I've done, he said, all the ones, now they're going to bring up a Steven Seagal film? I said, hey, it's the price of stardom, baby. But he thinks the world of Joe.
He's a terrific guy.
You met him in New York, right?
Well, first in New York, and then I spent time with him out in L.A. with you. Yeah. What movies were you in with him?
I was in Relentless Part 3, and he was a serial killer. My detective had an aptitude to work and find out and jump into the minds of serial killers. And I'll tell you, he played one scary dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know him a long time, but when he goes into that zone, and believe me, it's a deep zone. It's something else.
Well, I remember coming on the set, you're on break. And, you know, the actors and everybody's around talking. I'm looking for William, and he's off by himself. You know, I could tell he's running his lines because he's talking to himself. And he played Capone, didn't he, in the series?
Yes, in the series. He played Al Capone in the series that they shot in Chicago. Correct. He has a little bit of you in him because he does not suffer fools. I mean, if somebody's supposed to come, be prepared, go to work, he's with you. If all of a sudden you try to pull a hi-hat thing or something like that, no. He'll call you out. If a director's not prepared, he'll call him out. Now, it's not done his career. It's not done his career much good.
Yeah, but he could look at himself in the mirror, you know?
Yes. That's a big, big thing for him. He was playing Sancho Trafficante, the guy who you actually met.
Yeah, when I was under.
Yeah, you said it was a big mansion. Tell me, did it resemble, or did you ever go to his domicile, or you just met him at different places?
I went to Frank Balestrieri's house, which was a gigantic house. With Santo, we always met in restaurants. Yeah, but, you know, I watched the scene, and he has it down. I mean, he's there.
Yeah.
Now, Leo, let's back up a little bit, and I'm remiss in DeMeo.
Yeah.
Seemed like a great guy, focused. He plays the lead, one of the leads, right?
Yes, he does.
So being a director also and writing it, what's your take on that? I mean, on Mr. DeMeo.
He and I are dear, dear friends. We've developed that. He played where I met him. He played Sammy the Bull in the Gotti movie with John Travolta. I wrote the original script.
Yeah, the original script.
Right. And he was on the set and we became friends. And, you know, he asked me, he said, I got a series coming up. I'd like you to do a role in there. I said, give me a call, you know, send the stuff over. Let me read the script and everything. And when he told me, he said, I don't know whether I should direct it or not. And he was said, he said, he mentioned a couple directors. I said, oh, he's good. Oh, he's good. I said, but William, here's the story. You wrote it. You're playing the lead. You come from that area. You were 12, 13 years old when all this stuff was happening.
He knows the material.
He knows it in and out. I said, I think you're going to be wasting a lot of time with debates with a director, because a director comes on, he's got a vision. Nobody could have the vision that you have, because you put it down on paper, you lived it. And I said, look, what I will offer to you is when you're in a scene and I'm not in a scene, I will be over at the monitor. And, you know, if you value my opinion, I'm there. And don't you know, on the first season, he would come to me after he'd do a couple takes and we would discuss it. You know, he knows the character, but there's just maybe a little tweak or emphasizing something a little more, or maybe changing a line so it's clearer or whatever. And he was very, very amenable and responsive to that. And I was flattered because he trusted me enough, trusted my eye and my experience.
I noticed that day you were filming, he did have a lot of conversation with you after a scene, when they cut from a scene. And I give him a lot of credit for that. I got to say, I think from what I saw, and I saw the first season of Grey's End, and I enjoyed it, you know, especially being into life for 6 years with these guys. It's pretty realistic with the characters. Now, what was your character again, Leo?
Yeah. Could you imagine? Look, with this hair, I got this beautiful hair. He says, I want you to play Mikey the Hat. I said, why? He says, no, there was a guy in, I guess he was in the Genovese family, and he was called, I don't know, Ronnie the Hat. I said, do you want me to wear a hat? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, it won't be a baseball cap because they didn't do that. He said, no, like Frank Sinatra. I said, one of those hats?
Yeah, that was a nice hat. I saw it.
It was a fedora, right? And yeah. I said, all right, okay. And don't you know that when I put that hat on, it helped me get this character, because I usually work from my hair in. But now I had a hat on, so it was the hat. It really did help. And I was his confidant. I was an older guy that never got made because of his screw-ups early in life. I don't want to give away too much.
I knew a couple of those in the life.
Yeah, they really got pinned down because of something they did in the past, and he's not been made. He's done the work. Work by meaning he got something to kill somebody, a contract. He did it, but he was just an associate, and he was in William DeMeo's crew. If you really want to say, and we'll go over the actors and Joe's experience that he's had with them on the set and previous, but it really turned out that on and off the camera, we did have this symbiotic relationship, and I could tell where he was coming from. He could tell where I was coming from. He trusted me. I trusted him. Can't ask for anything more than that, right, Joe?
Not at all. I mean, now, one actor, Leo, that I missed. He didn't work that day, and I really would have liked to have met him. I think he's one of the better actors around and during his age group, Armand Asante.
Armand is everything that you would hope he would be. He is. He's a gentleman. He cares about people, much like Johnny Depp. He is one of the most versatile actors. I know Bob De Niro is, yes, and I've played a couple shit kickers. But Armand has played Belisar the Cajun. He has played Napoleon in the miniseries.
Yeah.
He played John Gotti with William Forsythe in a wonderful movie, the first.
Yes, he did.
He played Goldie Hawn's love interest in Private Benjamin. And he was in Mambo Kings with Antonio Banderas, that they played brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, and Armand's a kid from the Bronx. And he said something to me. We're sitting in a foxhole and we're just waiting for the next shot. And he says, you know, you and I are cursed. I said, well, what do you mean, Armand? He said, you and I were cursed. I said, why are we cursed? He said, I look like Pacino. You look like De Niro. That's his sense of humor, man. You know, that's where he's coming from. And you know who he plays in this?
I know.
Tell me.
He plays a Philadelphia mob boss. Am I correct?
Yep.
Nicodemo Scarfo.
Exactly who it's based on. Exactly. And who was a homicidal maniac. And would you call him a sociopath or a psychopath, Joe?
I think you call them both, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think he's got the daily double. He's got the daily double on that. And Armand, he rolled his eyes. I mean, and he went bonkers. Wherever he was, he was Nicky in his soul and his spirit. And we finish a scene, or you know, the director didn't yell cut, and we're walking, and I had never met him. My character had never met him.
Right, right.
And he goes, the hat. Yeah, Mikey the hat. Yeah, you wear the hat. I said, yeah, boss. he's just he's a great guy. I wish you would have met him. Because he was looking to meet you, and the days just didn't coordinate, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
When we go to Brooklyn, if you come around, you and he will have a bite to eat. You, me, and him. Okay?
Good, good.
Good.
Now, a funny guy, DeMeo come up with a cast that, I mean, amazing. Another guy, I'm looking at this guy, and I said, I know this guy. I've seen him on YouTube. Who the hell is this guy? Vic DiBenedetto, right?
Yes, Vic.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Vic DiBenedetto. Yeah, Vic DiBenedetto.
And he's the sweetest guy, man.
Nothing like.
But the character? Oh, man. He takes no prisoners. You know, and if you look him up, he's the every man's rage. He just goes off on, he goes off on toilet paper, you know, and he can make a whole show out of toilet paper, how his wife uses the soft. He's just a funny guy. And he was working the day that you were on the set with William.
Yeah.
And then this is the big one. This is the big one. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, and then I'm watching this scene and there's mob guys sitting around a table. And I says to Bob, I said to Starkman, I said, is that Dice Clay? You never told me he was in it.
No, I didn't. I surprised you.
Oh, my God.
Deep Cover will be right back after this short message. And we're back with Deep Cover.
I saw him in one other movie he was in. He was pretty damn good. And, so they break for lunch. We took some photographs, me, Leo, and Foresight. Yeah, you introduced. He said, come here, I want to introduce you to Dice. So he introduced me to him, and he says, no, you're really Donnie Brasco? I said, yeah. He said, I love that movie. I love that movie. He said, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that movie. So everybody goes to lunch. Now there's myself, Bob, Starkman, Dice, and he starts reciting the dialogue. He's reciting the dialogue from Donnie Brasco.
That's got to be flattering.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Dice Clay saying it's one of his favorite movies and he knows the dialogue. So he's not BSing when he says, I've watched that movie. I don't know how many times he said. But there's another guy that you see his act, right? And then you meet him in person. I mean, he was as polite and courteous. We stood there for maybe 35 minutes just talking, you know, about the movie and everything. So is he going to be a recurring role, Leo?
Yes, I can definitely say that he will be. I talked to William DeMeo, and it's interesting because he had done a few guest spots, but where he really came into focus was he played Lady Gaga's father in A Star Is Born.
Right, right.
And that's when everybody said, wow, he's just not this brash, some people say vulgar. We went to see him, Joe. You had, I think, already gone home. We went to see him on a Saturday night in Boca Raton, okay? And they got a thing called the Jewel Box Theater, the Black Box Theater or something. And Vic opened for him. And Vic pushes the envelope with the you know, with the sex and the vulgarity. But when our boy Dice comes on, and the audience, they were packed. They had four shows, two on Saturday night, one early, one late, and two on Sunday, one early, one late. Jam-packed, sold out, 350, you know, every performance.
Wow.
And he comes out, and he I guess he's got his routine, you know, hickory dickory dock, the mouse went up her clock. I mean, and he starts, and it goes all the way into the toilet from there. And the audience love it. And I'm sitting next to Armand, and we're looking, and you can't help but laughing. I mean, he goes after it, and there's only one dice. You know, and it was interesting to see him on stage, you know, and then you see him in life. Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think too many times you identify with the character on the screen versus who the real person is. Right.
Yep. Yep. I can attest to that from when I did The Accused. I mean, I did not play a nice guy. And he was pretty much unredeemable.
Yeah.
And people took that where my agent would call. And they said, no, he's got a dark side, that guy. He's got a dark side. What are you talking about? I did a role. I did a character, you know?
Yeah.
But look, here's Joe's magnetism. I have a friend down there in Florida, Larry Lawton. Now, Larry Lawton has changed his life around totally. He was a jewel thief on the FBI's most wanted list.
A legendary jewel thief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy had, and he was hooked up with the Gambinos, one of the capos there, Nino Gaggi, whatever, you know, big time guy. Anyway, he got pinched and they wanted him to flip on Nino Gaggi. That's the guy they really wanted too. And he wouldn't do it. And he spent 12 years in a federal penitentiary, most of it in Atlanta. And he came out, turned his life around. He teaches kids in Broward County, Dade County, those counties down in Florida, Joe.
He has a book out, too, Gangster Redemption.
Gangster Redemption. And I'm going to write the script the minute we get a green light, okay? But he says, Joe Pistone, he said, I know a judge that he knows. I said, well, he knows a lot of judges, and I imagine you do, too. You know? And he says, yeah, he says, God, I'd love to interview him because he has a YouTube show that is going through the roof. And he talks about trying to help people who are especially teenagers or young 20s who are high risk. He says, listen, I have my whole studio on wheels. And I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, I got everything. I got cameras, this. You think he would want to do an interview? I said, I can only ask. And I asked Joe, so I'll be down on this day. And he says, great. He drives, I don't know, 90, 100 miles. And Joe did the interview
in his, what do they call them, RVs?
Yeah, RV, that's right, recreation vehicle, right.
One that has a big bedroom, bathrooms. I mean, it was like crazy. I mean, you can live in this thing.
Yeah.
I meet him on set, and, you know, he's just a big guy. Here's another guy that's a big guy. And the FBI put him in a can. That was who was after him.
Yeah.
So we go over to I guess you call it an RV, and he's got three cameras set up. He's got the audio. And I guess we did about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it's on his YouTube channel. If you get YouTube, you can go on his YouTube channel and see the interview. But you know what's, you know what, Leo, is you meet guys that are gangsters. And most gangsters don't, you know, there's no redemption. They don't redeem themselves. Larry's one that did. I mean, I spent time with him. After the interview, I spent another, I don't know, 3 hours talking to him. Michael Frances, you know, another guy that's legit, got out doing things the right way now. And Larry, I mean, he was a pretty damn good jewel thief in his day. He did a lot of big heists.
Yeah, he had a lot of money.
And now he's doing the right thing. You know, he's doing the right thing.
He went the way of wayward youth.
Yeah.
Now, you were in the Navy. He was in the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
And I think he injured himself when he came out that. But that's the magnetism of Mr. Joe Pistone. Guy drives 100 miles, puts him in it. And the RV has one of those where the windows go out. They extend out even make it bigger.
Yeah.
It is a home on wheels.
And Leo, what about your friend and my new friend, Sid Rosenberg?
Sid Rosenberg from the Bernie and Sid Show, which is on 77 WABC in New York, the number one radio drive-to show in New York City. And who does he play, Joe, in this?
Dice Clay's bodyguard. And I'll tell you what, Leo, that's the first time I ever met Sid. I mean, the guy is built like a brick shithouse.
You took my line away. I was going to say brick shithouse.
If I wanted a bodyguard, if I needed a bodyguard, I'd have him around. And I mean, his shoulders are as wide as Texas.
I said over the air, and I met it very complimentary. I said, I didn't know they made Jews that big. And he got a good laugh out of it. And our producer, Matty, Luigi's son, is our producer and was Sid's producer. So he's a man with a touch of gold, a touch of gold. From now on, what do we call him, Joe? Midas.
Midas. Yeah, you know, speaking to Sid, you hear him on the radio and, you know, I mean, what a guy. Another very personable guy, another personable gentleman in our discussion talking about family. And I think that was his first acting gig, wasn't it?
To my knowledge, it was. And he played it because he's a kid from the streets of Brooklyn. He was a street kid from Brooklyn, you know, and he came right in.
Yes, he was. At any rate, Sid, you're the man.
Ditto, baby.
What I liked about Gravesend is the male doesn't pull any punches about the violence of the mob. You know, he doesn't sugarcoat.
No. Yep.
He doesn't sugarcoat the mob. He's from the neighborhood, so he knows these guys. And I give him credit for that. And he's a pretty damn good writer.
Yep. And the stunt coordinator, wonderful stunt coordinator, does all the big movies that come down to Miami, and we want to bring him up hopefully to Brooklyn when we film there. He wants everything authentic. He also supplies all the guns and stuff. And I do a couple jobs where I have to knock people off. And he set it up in a way that is really real. And there's one scene where the guy, he's laying there and he's looking at me and he's cursing at me. He's already got bullets in him, right? And the guy's going to curse me. He wants to go out that way. So I point the gun at him. I don't even look at him. Bing. I pull the trigger, you know? And for it to look real, you really got to go there. And one scene, I don't want to give too much away, but, well, let me give it away. I jam a guy's head through his car window. Yeah.
I did it,
you know, the whole bit. But, when you saw the cars and you saw the you know, everybody dressed and you had done deep cover work as Donnie in Florida, how did it make you feel, man? I mean, it was like, you know, it's make-believe. You've been on movie sets, my God.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, it was like, oh my God, you know, I mean, because where you were shooting, the whole surrounding area was like the set.
Yes.
You know, it brought me back to the day. Everything was spot on. The cars, the wardrobe, even the extras, because you had some extras in some scenes.
Sure.
They looked like the real Guidos that hang out on the block. You know?
Yeah. Oh, we had a lot of in Italian, you say facce brut. We had a lot of faces that could that could scare you, baby. You know?
He did a good job. And if you see him when next time you talk to him, please tell him that I was really impressed with the whole layout of the scenes, the way he put the scenes together. And then the day that I met Larry, you were down on the Intercoastal.
Yes.
Dice was in had a big role in one of the scenes there.
Oh, yeah.
West Palm Beach. It was a strip club.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't go in to watch the film. I don't want to see any strippers.
You know, and he did not. They were sitting on my lap. They were sitting everywhere. What are you going to do? It's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it, buddy.
Somebody's got to do it. But that's when I spent a lot of time with Larry. We spent a lot of time talking about the days and about the life.
You know, Bob Starkman, you touched on him, and he's a great guy. But when Joe was under doing his thing with the mafia, Bob was a customs agent. That means all the waterways, all the docks, that's where they were smuggling the stuff in. He says it in his book. He was sometimes $800,000. He had to put it in the van and take it to be that was seized. Kilos, I don't know how many kilos, of heroin, and he's got pictures of himself because that was the time of
Cowboys in Miami. It was Wild West.
Cocaine Cowboys. That's right. And then what was the show? Don Johnson.
Miami Vice.
And it was so fascinating because he and Joe, when they talk job talk, I mean, they're way ahead of me. I feel like a rookie. I got to ask, what? But he's a good guy. And Joe, you do have a lot of people, friends on both sides of the law.
Yeah, well, actually I do.
I'm going to ask you $1 million question now.
You only might get a $500,000 answer, though.
That's all right. Okay. how would you feel about having Sammy the Bull as a guest on our show?
If Sammy's willing to come on and, you know, speak with us and be honest about, you know, about whatever we discuss, why not? You know?
Okay.
Look, I don't know Sammy. I never met him. I didn't put him in jail, but, you know, I guess he did his time. What did he do, 22 years?
22 years in Arizona, or different places.
And I guess he's straight. I don't know. I mean, you know.
Well, you know what? Let's see how this is going to turn out. Now, also, we are going to get into some very heavy stuff next time. And that's when Joseph D. Pistone, special agent, quit the FBI prematurely. And we will take you through that. And then we will take you through the comeback. Really nitty gritty stuff. So, everybody, Joe interviewed me. Oh, how good is that? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll welcome it.
All right, everybody. I'll see y'all. Bye-bye.
God bless America.
Next week on Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco. We finally get to hear the real reason as to why Joe quit the FBI. And we play exclusive audio from Joe's undercover days, a conversation between him and Sonny Black. Keep listening to Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Thanks to our producer, Monique Nethington, sound designer, Casey Franco, and executive producers, Maddie Stout, Rudy Salo, and MBB Media for putting this episode together. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more Deep Cover updates, plus exclusive photos and content.